We are going rapid fire today. We're talking about inchstones. It's the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. It is May 14th. I even had to look at the date, but we're doing Proverbs 14, the corresponding proverb, corresponding day, 3,000-year-old wisdom. And we're going to see how it applies in today. This one was wild because I had a talk with my wife yesterday, and I was telling her a lot of times I don't take the time to settle in and realize all the things that have transpired. I have the tendency to look so far ahead, you know, set a lofty goal and then move towards that, that I don't enjoy the little things that are happening on the day. And what she sat on the stairs and did, which was most of the time she does this to me, is she just said, why don't you just appreciate and stay content exactly where you're at? Because if you're constantly reaching for something else, guess what's going to happen? You're always going to be frustrated. And so in Proverbs 14, it was amazing because it hit me so strong this morning. And what God was talking about was just inchstones. It's not the milestones, just the inchstones, the little tiny things. And in verse 1, let's jump right into the word. In verse 1, he says, a wise woman builds her house with her own hands. The foolish one tears it down. So the breakdown here was to build, and that's in verse 1, you have to have the land, you have to have the plans, you have to have the material, you have to have a timeline, and then you have to have an inspection at the end to make sure that the construction was exactly what it needed to be. And imagine that. Imagine if we took the time to ask ourselves, before we desired something, do we actually have the land, the bandwidth to be able to build on it? Do we have the plans? Do we have the materials? Have we invested in those? Do we have a timeline for it? And do we have someone that's going to come in and inspect the job all the way through to make sure that we're not making the type of mistakes that generally we make as human beings? And so I was asking God this morning, like, okay, well, that sounds good, but help me with this, because in the inchstones, the little tiny things, you said the land, the plans, the material, the timeline, and the inspection. But be more specific, God. This is the conversation that I have with him all the time, and it's amazing because he never disappoints. The first point in this is that he talks about this. He says, fear God or fear me. It says, if you fear me, you'll walk uprightly. That's in verse number 2. In verse number 2, it says, whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly. And in verse 9, it says, fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found in the upright. And in verse 16, it says, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels insecure. So when I look at this, it talks about walking uprightly, goodwill, shunning evil, secure fortress, which is in verse 26. And in verse 27, it says, if you fear God, then you'll have a fountain of life. In verse number 3, it says to speak life. And this is, a fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. This is a part of the inchstones, the little tiny inchstones, speaking life into people. Number 4 is to work hard. This is the hardest part for myself, you know, because I, a lot of times, want to make sure that I get what it is that I want, but a lot of times I find that, you know, I want it now. I want it without all the hard work. And so it just says in verse 4, it says, where there is no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox come abundant harvests. So my pops used to always talk about this, calloused hands. If you look at a person, they have calloused hands or they're willing to work, generally you'll see incredible, sustainable prosperity, success behind them. And it doesn't mean just success in money aspect, but it means that they'll be lifted up in the ways that they go. Number 5 is to be honest. And this one's a tough one because you know, it may sound simple, but being honest all the time and making sure that we're honest with others, we're honest with God, and we're honest with ourselves. And this is a verse 5 and a verse 25. Then he goes on to discernment. What is discernment? Is to understand and know that you can take the time, set back, and not every single deal or not every single situation is for you. My mom said it like this: you're the greatest in the world. You could do anything that you put your mind to, but just because you could do it doesn't make it right. That's discernment. Discernment comes from wisdom. This comes from verse 6, and it says, the mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but the knowledge comes from easily to the discerning. So are you do you have discernment? The next one is the company you keep. And this was big because my buddy Will is massive on this. And it says, stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. That's verse number 7. In verse number 20, it hits this also. And then it goes on to prudence. And what is prudence? Prudence is just the thought of the future. And sometimes I get wrapped up in the moment and I want this particular thing to happen. But what I find is when I start thinking about the future and I think, wow, the little tiny inch stones that I take today can become the milestones in the coming months, the coming years, and the coming decades. So when we look at this, this is in verse 8, verse 15, verse 12, verse 18, and it goes back to wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? From the fear of God. And so wisdom will lead to knowledge. Knowledge will lead to insight. Insight will lead to discretion. Discretion will help us with that prudence, right? And then that'll give us discipline, strength, and then it'll lead us back to the fear of God. The next point is allow your joy to be personal and shine light on others to experience theirs. This is a big one because for myself, I had the tendency to, when I experience joy, I want everyone to experience joy, but here's the caveat. I always want them to experience joy the way that I did. Oh, I went to the game. You should go to the game. I moved here. You should move there. I went on vacation here. You should go on vacation here. As opposed to just shining light on what the other person is doing at that particular time in their life, not in mine. And so in verse 10, it was wild because as I read it, each heart knows its own bitterness and no one else can share its joy. Every single thing is personal, especially a relationship with God, and make sure that your relationship is just personal with Him. And the next one is be content. And this is, I put parentheses around tent because I laughed at this because what my wife was saying to me yesterday is just calm down, be content right where you're at. If you're constantly wanting more, you're never going to enjoy the things that you have right now. And this was a big, big one for me. And what I found in verse 11, it says, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Be content. Imagine this. The house of the wicked will be torn down, but the tent of the righteous will flourish. The tent, sometimes you have a little bit less than what you see when people are not doing the right thing, but be content in that spot. The next one is not everything is what you want. And this one is challenging to me too, because I'm the youngest child in the family, and I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it, and I wanted it now, always. And in verse 13, it talks about, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and in rejoicing, you may end in grief. And so even though we're following, we're doing the right thing, we're piling up these little inch stones, it doesn't mean that every single thing is going to turn out exactly the way that you want it. And that sometimes is challenging. The next point is that God sees. And when I say that God sees, in verse number 14, it says, the faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good will be rewarded for theirs. God sees. God sees every single thing that you're doing. In verse 19, it talks about this also. And for us to sit in and realize that when we do the right thing in those little tiny inch stones, God sees it. And what will happen is He will reward it, but He'll reward it according to His will, His plan, and His timing, which is sometimes challenging. So the next one is patience, and this is right in line with that in verse number 17. It says, a quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. In verse number 29, it talks about patience, too, and patience is probably one of the hardest things that we'll ever work on because we don't want to work on it. And when we have patience, whether it be with our kids, I lost my cool the other day in an FNL football game, and just honestly, I was a complete idiot. And when I did, it was just a lack of patience. I didn't sit in, and I acted a fool, acted like a five-year-old, and now I have to apologize to every single person. That is a part of it personally and this way too, which is not that great. Our next point in verse number 21 is generosity. And I find that every single person that has any type of success, whether it be financial or in their marriages, in their personal life, their professional life, their spiritual life, their financial life, all of them have the tendency to be generous. And in verse 21 and 31, it drives this home. The next point is to do the right thing. This is probably one of the things that is the simplest, but it's the one that we overlook, because simply doing the right thing in verse number 22, it says, do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. Do the right thing, which is simple, but it's the most challenging. One of my friends, his name is Gary Spellman, said he's going to write a book. And in that book, what he's going to say is one page: do the right thing. The end. And just be done with it. Best personal development book that you could ever read in the world. How do we know what's right? Is by spending time with God and finding out what he would have for us on that particular time. And that just means that we spend time with him. When we do, we'll find out his character. When we find out his character, we'll fear him or respect him. That will lead to wisdom, which is the right use of knowledge. It'll bring knowledge. Then it'll bring understanding. Understanding will bring insight. Insight, discretion. Discretion will bring discipline. Discipline will bring strength. And it'll lead us right back to the fear of God. So the next one is a saying that my pops would always say to me, which is alligator mouth and parakeet butt. Don't let your alligator mouth overload your parakeet butt. This is what my pops would say to me all the time. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Don't let your alligator mouth, son, overload your parakeet butt. Don't talk about all the things that you're going to do that you aren't willing to do the work for. The next point is the world needs people to succeed, but with God, he will make people prosper. And think about that. Like in verse number 28, it talks about this, and it says a large population is a king's glory, but without subjects, a prince is ruined. See, the world needs people to succeed. What God says is like, just come to me and I will make the people succeed. So he doesn't look for us to be able to have these particular things. All we need is a focus on him. So let's go on to the next one is peace that passes all understanding. That's verse number 30. And it says this is what my mom would say to me all the time, is guard your heart. Guard your heart. And the next one is in verse 32 is God will be the refuge for those who seek him. In verse number 32, it's just very, very simple in that. Verse number 33, it says even to fools, wisdom cries out. So even if you're a bonehead, a knucklehead, which I am a lot, God is still crying out for you. He's still saying to you, hey, wisdom is here. I just want you to listen to me. I just want you to take some time and focus in on the little tiny inch stones that are coming. And then the last thing here is just do the right little things. Inch stones will prove to be valuable. And that's in verse 34 and 35 as we finish up. And I just want to read this to you. He calls us to seek him, which will lead to the fear of him. He will, through his grace, give us consumable inch stones that when we build will become milestones that are built on a firm foundation. He has come to bring light, love, peace, and joy through his land, his plans, his material, his timelines, and his inspection. And all he wants us to do is to focus on him, and he will give us those inch stones. He will give us the land. He will give us the plans. He will give us the material. He will give us the timeline, and he will give us the inspection to make sure that we're doing the right thing. These things become simple, not easy. They become simple when we simply focus on him, which is the hardest thing in the world to do. This has been the Corresponding Proverb, Corresponding Day. It is Proverbs 14, 3,000-year-old wisdom that is applicable today. Don't think about the milestones that you need to get. Focus in on the inch stones and be content exactly where you're at. Thank you so much, Brooklyn, for giving me that message. I appreciate you. I love you. My name is Kelly Cardenas, and I'm officially off the hot seat. Peace, love, and soul.